Now, maybe this is why I'm a dad, because I flunked this part of the mom test. But I don't know about you, but we have a cupboard full of these things. Wait. Oh, I got one. All right. These things drive me up the wall. But we got a cupboard over them. Every time we have leftovers, I've got to go in that cupboard, pull these out, and try to find the lids that are connected with them. And I tell you, more times than not, there's no matches whatsoever. And I just don't understand the logic of all these. If it was up to me, these would have gone to the recycling center long time ago. But anyways, I don't understand those, and yet we have a lot of them. Here's another. This is the meal sites box of. Now, these come in handy because people like to take food home, put their leftovers in, but a box full of containers, plastic containers. Now, I share that with you because when Paul talks about being that we are clay or jars of clay and we have this treasure in us, probably the best way for us to understand that today is that we are lunch meat containers. That's what we are, folks. We're not even Tupperware. We're lunch meat containers. And I think that's significant because when Paul was talking about us being jars of clay, he was talking about these Unitarian, everyday kind of material that people put stuff in. Nothing special about these jars. They weren't ceremonial jars. They weren't silver. They weren't beautiful. They were just jars that I'm sure a mother somewhere put leftovers in and to save something. And so for us, I think this is the comparison that we have, that we are these little containers. But Paul talks about that in these containers, we have this surpassing power and grace of God. Now, that's huge. And I want to look through this verse and talk about what Paul is saying. This, for me, is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. And as we look at it today, let us look at it, first off, individually, how this applies to me individually. But if you look carefully and are reminded about what Paul's been doing in 2 Corinthians up to this point, he's been talking about his ministry, he's been talking about the ministry of the Corinth church and the people there and what they need to be doing and how they need to be living out their faith. So he's not just talking to the individual. He's talking to the congregation, that we are, as a church, this lunch meat container that has the surpassing power and grace of God. And so when Paul starts off this section, he's talking kind of autobiography about himself, but also at the same time, he's reminding himself that all of us go through this. He ends up with this part where, you know, in our scripture, you know, he talks about that we are pressed, we are afflicted, but we're not destroyed, we're struck down, we're persecuted, those kinds of words. And another commentary kind of put it differently, which I kind of liked the way he said it. He said this: we are squeezed, we are bewildered, we are pushed aside, we are knocked down. We are squeezed, bewildered, pushed aside, and knocked down. I think all of us here today know of times that we have felt that way or are going through those times. And it reaffirms this idea about us being these disposable containers. Because sometimes we feel like, you know, like a container that, you know, how many of you have squeezed more food in these things than they're supposed to be? How many of you have knocked them down? How many of you have pushed them aside? How many of you have been opened them up and been bewildered by what was in there? And so we are these vessels that have gone through difficult times. But I think also as a church, as a body of believers, we echo those same issues that, you know, as a church, we are squeezed, we're bewildered, we're pushed aside. We sometimes are knocked down. And I've said this in many different ways. I really think that the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that we understand this, what we're doing now, is probably at its most threatened time in history. And not because of huge conspiracy ideas, but just this huge shift going on in the world about what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to be a part of a congregation. People are not rushing in the doors here. And so we're kind of bewildered about what do we do next? How do we minister? We're squeezed. We all know how tight the budgets always are in our church. We feel pushed aside. People don't take us as a church seriously like they used to. And sometimes we just feel as a church knocked down. We feel like we just don't have the energy or the ability to face the problems that are around us, whether it's personally or corporately as a church. And so the Apostle Paul, I believe, went through this in his own lives. He was connecting with the Corinth church and their experience as well, and how they were feeling squeezed, bewildered, pushed aside, and knocked down. But in a way, for him, that was the good news. That, yeah, we are these plain throwaway containers, but what is inside of us is power, is grace, is resurrection. Because as you remember in the scripture, Paul does not just say, we've got a lousy time here. We're squeezed and we're bewildered and pushed aside and knocked down. But he makes sure that we're reminded that, yeah, we may be squeezed, but we are not crushed. We are bewildered, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Now, he goes on to say that we are these things and we are not defeated, not because of our own intelligence, not because of our own ability, not because of anything that we've done, but because of the surpassing power that is in Jesus Christ. Death may be at work in us, but life is also at work in us. The life that is in Jesus Christ, that resurrection. And so we are not determined by our past. We're not determined by the bad things that are happening around us. What Paul is saying is actually our futures, what we can anticipate, our futures determine our present right now. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's an interviewing process or technique that you can use when you want to interview somebody, whether it's for a job of some sort. And it's called, they have two different kinds. It's called PAR or STAR. And PAR talks about past. I'm trying to think what the words are now. I used to know what they are. I'll make it up as I go. Pass, you know, your what was that? The problem. Excuse me, that's why I got it messed up. Start off by you asking a person, have you faced a certain kind of problem? What were your actions? And then what were the results? So, for example, if you were interviewing a pastor, you would say, what kind of conflict have you experienced in the church? And if a pastor, he or she said, oh, I haven't had any conflict, I would write a big note. Okay. But if they said, well, yeah, I ran into a problem one time with a church member on session who wanted to do this, and we didn't do that. So then you ask, okay, so what were the actions that you took? And that person hopefully would say, well, what we did is we sat down together and we talked about it and worked it out. And we still didn't agree face to face, but we were willing to agree to disagree. Well, what were the results? Well, we were able then to continue on with this project. And so what you get from that picture is, and the mentality is, that past actions dictate future results. So if this person was able to handle this conflict and do it in such a helpful way, then you can, quote unquote, assume that if they encountered another conflict, this is how they would handle it. Okay? So there is this theory that our past and our past actions determine our future. But Paul has turned this around. He said, look, yeah, we've got all sorts of problems, but my past doesn't affect my present. My future affects my present. Because what Paul was able to say was, even though we're crushed, we're squeezed, we're bewildered, we're knocked down, we're not defeated because we have this promise, this future, this resurrection that is in Jesus Christ. And so he comes to this point where he says, for me, is one of these greatest verses in the Bible, that in one sense, unfortunately, we hear mostly in funerals and not really hear for us during our own spiritual lives, but it is a powerful verse. It says this, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That verse, to me, holds power. Because it is saying that, yeah, what I'm going through today as this container, the problems, the frustrations, the sense of worthlessness that I might have are just slight. They're momentarily compared to what's my future, compared to what I have looking forward to, compared to what Christ is preparing for me, an eternal weight of glory. And so Paul could say, yeah, right now I'm crushed, or I'm squeezed, but I'm not crushed. I'm befuddled, but I haven't given up. I'm in this simple container that may not be worth much, but because of my future, I know that God is going to do and is able to do things that are beyond my comprehension and my belief. So, in context for us individually, we have this amazing hope that even though we have had a really rotten, bad day, that really doesn't determine how I feel today. Because I can look to the future and know there is something greater waiting for me. But even as a church, even as a congregation, even in the midst of our questions and struggles, even in the midst of, okay, how do we do this now? Our present isn't dictated by our past. Our present is dictated by this power, this future, this resurrection. Now think about that. As you leave today, I guess I want to think about, how would you approach today knowing and being secure that tomorrow is taken care of? That's a huge question. Because if we're so wrapped up in today based on how things went in the past, I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of hope. But knowing that what I am going through today is a light, momentarily affliction compared to what's coming ahead, then I can play that game. I can stand firm. I can be that nondescript container that holds in it the resurrection of Christ. And we can live fully in this life ahead of us. Let's pray. Lord God,